Welcome back. It's a Monday, the 5th day of December, 2022. I'm your host, Mark Hall. And interestingly, folks, the story that I most wanted to start off with today needs a bit of introduction. So I guess we better back up just a bit and talk about what happened over the weekend after most of the so-called news agencies had gone home, which is when the most important stories generally come out anyway. So on that score, there was a Friday night drop of what's come to be called the Twitter files. Elon Musk had promised it last week. I talked about it on this show. And it looks like he's chosen what Zero Hedge and Tyler Durden dubbed the notorious independent gonzo journalist Matt Taibbi to run the gauntlet on them. And on Friday evening, Taibbi tweeted a whole bunch of stuff, saying what you're about to read is the first installment in a series based upon thousands of internal documents obtained by sources at Twitter. As you might expect, it's going to take a while for all of those to percolate out, and we'll see how many of them get censored along the way. Well, okay, maybe. But, notes Matt, it's a Frankensteinian tale of a human-built mechanism grown out of the control of its designer. That depends on who you consider the real designer to be. Over time, he notes, Twitter staff and executives began to find more and more uses for their special tools that allowed them to manipulate and censor speech and then cover it up. First they did it a little bit, then more often, and then, he says, constantly. By 2020, requests from connected actors, as he puts it, to delete tweets were routine. One executive would write to another, "More to review from the Biden team." The reply would come back, "Handled." And while he noted that both parties actually had access to these tools, the system certainly wasn't balanced. It was based on connections, contacts, and there were certainly more channels, more ways to complain, open to the left, well, he says, the Democrats, than the right. As a matter of fact, he puts in there a chart of party donations by recipient and notes that in 2018, over 96% of all Twitter donations went to the party of the far left, but by 2022, it was 99.7%+. And the massively evil corporation donated a whole $451 in the most recent election cycle to Republicans. And what do you bet every one of those was a rhino to boot? Matt Taibbi then reminded his readers of what regulars here have known for literally years at this point. The Post had its Twitter account locked back in October 2020 for reporting on the now, as he puts it correctly, confirmed to be real laptop from hell, which contained still unprosecuted evidence of foreign influence peddling. The real term, folks, is bribery and worse. The famous Biden quid pro quo through the guy who was then vice president and, of course, a.k.a. the big guy, including a 2015 meeting with an executive of Ukrainian natural gas giant Burisma. Users who tried to tweet that link were greeted with a message saying, quote, "We can't complete this request because this link has been identified by Twitter or our partners, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, as being potentially harmful," unquote. Even though Twitter's former head of trust and safety, yeah, sure, Joel Roth, has admitted belatedly that it was a mistake to censor the Hunter Biden laptop story, but hey, they got away with it, didn't they? At least long enough for the fix to come off as planned. Prompting Matt Taibbi to note, hey, would Roth have dared to suppress an equivalent story if it was about, say, a Donald Trump Jr. laptop full of incriminating evidence? I think everybody, even the far left, knows the answer to that. Which brings me now to the story that I think is actually more revealing, at least up until we see something from the Twitter files that we didn't already know 100 times over. Donald Trump, the senior, and the president who really did have the election stolen from him, along with the American people, was rightfully more than a bit PO'd. And he promptly wrote, notice I won't say tweeted, but he did take to his own platform, Truth Social, to say, quote, "So, with the revelation of massive and widespread fraud and deception," he capitalizes all of that, "in working closely with big tech companies, the DNC, and the Democrat Party, do you throw the presidential election results of 2020 out and declare the rightful winner," he capitalizes that, "or do you have a new election?" A massive fraud of this type and magnitude allows for the termination of all rules, regulations, and articles, even those found in the Constitution. Our great founders did not want and would not condone false and fraudulent elections, unquote. Now, admittedly, folks, that was not particularly articulate. It may have been a bit constitutionally ignorant, but we're used to that from Donald Trump. At least he doesn't seem to do it with the malice of forethought of the Biden regime and those who pull his puppet strings. Oh, yeah, and if you doubt that, we'll come back there in just a second. But I couldn't help but think when I read it that although he didn't say it particularly well, what the president was really saying was, why bother with election rules when you ignore them? Why bother with counting votes when you ignore that? Why bother with anything associated with the rule of law when it just simply gets in the way of doing what they fully intended to do anyway? And the more we find out about what happened and has been happening, the more that's pretty much impossible to deny. But he didn't say it very well, did he? Still, he didn't say this either. For example, typical was the Daily Mail headline, Donald Trump calls to terminate the Constitution after bombshell. No, he didn't. And not only is it just beyond stupid to suggest that he did, but honestly, folks, if you'll pick up a copy of the Constitution and read it, look for words like vote or elections, and you'll see that, in fact, the rules, such as they were ignored before the 2020 election. And I'm referring explicitly, in case you're curious, to the fact that the Constitution talks about electors, not generally voters, and never usurped from the states the authority to make those laws about elections, which, of course, have been ignored for at least 4 years now anyway. But wait, there's still more from the Quien es más estúpido files. Here's the at least slightly yellow journalistic first paragraph of the Daily Mail banner headline Monday morning. Elon Musk, Mr. Twitter himself, now has shot down former President Donald Trump's calls for termination of election rules, which really aren't there anyway, in the U.S. Constitution after the release of Musk's Twitter files relating to the cover-up, at least they admit that, of the Hunter Biden laptop story. Now, this at least comes closer to the truth. The former president, they said, made the explosive statement in the early hours of Saturday after Elon Musk claimed to reveal proof that Twitter, which he recently acquired for 44 billion fiat bucks, worked in tandem with Democrats to tip the scales. No, folks, they blew him clean away in the 2020 election. And at least at this point, they did finally quote what the ex-president, as they put it, fumed about what he correctly called the, quote, massive widespread fraud and deception, which, let's just be honest here, folks, makes some mockery of the entire concept of elections or votes or counting or the rule of law or, for crying out loud, have we seen anything even approaching transparency or a chain of evidence or a, quote, unquote, certification process that wasn't just as bogus as the Zyklon B poison poke itself? Well, they're just getting warmed up. Quote, just before 8 a.m. on Saturday morning, Trump took to Truth Social to assert that Musk's expose, published by journalist Matt Taibbi, proved 2020 was, quote, fraudulent and called to, get this, folks, strip current election laws from the U.S. Constitution.
Morons. I've got morons on my team.
I kid you not. But if you thought that was wrong or inarticulate or even ignorant, listen to this. When reports started to circulate about Trump's claims, Twitter CEO Musk responded in a tweet, quote, our Constitution is greater than any president, end of story, unquote. Well, I'll tell you this, it's deader than Washington, Adams, and Jefferson combined. And the real trouble is, none of the idiots quoted anywhere in this story seem to have a clue what it is they're talking about. I don't think any of them have ever actually read the document, but that's been obvious for a long time now. And if you think we've seen stupid so far, or maybe just outright lying, listen to this. Deputy White House Press Secretary Andrew Bates swiftly rebuked the elected president in a searing statement. Quote, attacking the Constitution and all it stands for is anathema to the soul of our nation and should be universally condemned. Huh? Isn't that what you guys do daily? But he wasn't done. Oh, he's going to double down. You cannot only love America when you win, said Bates. The American Constitution is a sacrosanct document that for over 200 years has guaranteed that freedom and the rule of law prevail in our country.
That's my story and I'm sticking to it.
Unquote. Well, not for the last 20 or so, anyway. But when it comes to just really insulting people, rubbing their noses in it, and using it for something even worse than George Bush imagined, calling it a GD piece of toilet paper, remember? Quote, the Constitution, said this same scumbag, brings the American people together. Oh, yeah? Is that what we've been seeing? Regardless of party, und elected leaders swear to uphold it. It's the ultimate monument to all of the Americans who have given their lives to defeat self-serving despots that abused their power and trampled on fundamental rights, unquote. Well, like the Biden Fuhrer, who not only stole the election, but has been making a career out of trampling not only on Americans' fundamental rights, like the right to keep and bear arms, be free of illegal search and seizure, and, oh yeah, petition the government for a redress of grievances. That is, if you don't end up in the gulag. He's been trampling on their life, liberty, and property, too. But just to show you how deep the idiocy truly goes in the swamp, folks, House GOP Representative Mike Turner told CBS News on Disgrace the Nation about Trump's furious comments, quote, "It's certainly not consistent with the oath that we all take," unquote. Yeah, because, of course, they ignore that anyway. So I guess what I'm trying to say here, folks, and I did spend quite a bit of time on that story, but I guess I have to put it this way. Now, we've gotten kind of inured to the fact that their lips are moving. We're used to hearing them say all kinds of absolutely disgusting things that you know are damnably untrue, like gun control and Zyklon B and abortions. It's for the children. Let's cut off their genitalia while we're at it, too. And do we really truly care about your health? Of course we do. We want you dead. And as for the economy, or your ability to work or travel, well, sure we care. Why do you think we want a standing army of 80,000 new IRS troops, more than the entire remaining army of once Great Britain, that we once, although we've forgotten about it, defeated in a war because they were trying to do a tiny fraction of what we're up to today? But I gotta admit, when I hear those same despots talking ignorantly about a document that they despise even more than they do the American people, whom they obviously do want dead, well, they dare to talk about, quote, self-serving despots that abuse their power and trampled on fundamental rights. Well, folks, if that doesn't just plain, and I gotta say it, piss you off, you're really not paying attention. And I guess bottom line is, it's not just that they want you dead, it's that they think you're too stupid to figure out what they're doing to you. You've heard the expression, don't you know what on my head and tell me it's raining. Well, they're doing a lot worse than that and telling you it's good for you. From there, let's do a quick headline review and synopsis of several stories that didn't quite make the cut today. Largely because, yeah, they do make the point, and we've been hearing about them for so long, they're almost passé by now. A piece from the Epic Economist says Costco's reporting large-scale shortages. Gee, wonder why that could be, as essential items are now pretty much impossible to find at more and more stores. Come on, what do you expect from a communist country that's working really hard to become third world, too? From RT via Infowars.com and hopefully more than a few others, U.S. military biological activities are a threat to the world, says Russia. They're concerned about large-scale American biological research programs, you know, the kind they've been uncovering there in Ukraine, both at home and abroad, especially given that Washington has admitted their, quote, dual-use nature. This, according to the commander of Russia's nuclear, biological, and chemical defense troops, Lieutenant General Igor Kirillov, who spoke during a briefing on Saturday and demanded broader international oversight of such programs. Quote, "The military biological activities of the Pentagon in various regions of the world," he said, "are among the sources of risks threatening the whole international community because the U.S. is seeking to enhance its military biological potential as well as, quote, expand its global control over the biological situation in the world," noting the U.S.'s own strategic documents. And he said that while Washington has stated their intention to strengthen the implementation of the so-called Biological Weapons Convention, that's been met with some doubt for reasons that ought to be increasingly obvious, folks. I don't think these people would tell the truth if the big guy got a 10% cut right off the top. Russia, he said, had repeatedly raised the issue of the real goal of the Pentagon's research programs at various international sites, saying that the questions they need answers to have, remained unanswered to date. Here's another one of those flash-in-the-pan headlines that I saw and almost ignored because, quite frankly, it's way more than a bit too little too late. At least Rand Paul is finally getting around to saying what he should have said several years ago. Even now, he's not coming out and saying what, in your host's opinion, is more than obvious. Yes, I know that's not the same as being able to prove it in what now passes for a court of law, and there hadn't been any real law in any of these so-called courts for a long time, obviously. Senator Paul admits that Fauci is incompetent, criminally so even, but fails to realize you can't be this stupid and kill this many people without some level of intent. But let's see what he did say. He appeared on Jesse Waters' Fox show late last week on what Waters correctly did call his farewell tour. I'd say it should be a good riddance tour. But it was after a fawning Washington Post interview where the sycophant pretending to be a host labeled him a hero, enabling the most evil man to draw breath on planet Earth, in your host's opinion, again, in the last several centuries, to claim that he was a victim. He did nothing wrong, and it was President Trump who, quote, triggered a lot of hostility against me. As if, no, folks, it wasn't the murder of millions that just might have resulted in some of that hostility. Anyway, here's what the Kentucky senator did say, referring to what he called one of the greatest errors in judgment in the history of medical science.
The Aaron judgment was to fund gain-of-function research in a totalitarian country, fund research that allowed them to create superviruses that, in all likelihood, accidentally leaked into the public and caused 7 million people to die. Think about it. This is right up there with decisions, some of them malevolent or military, to kill millions of people. This accidental, but it goes to judgment. Talk about errors. You think he might apologize to the world for funding research that allowed superviruses to be created in a lab that was not properly outfitted for safety, that people were already reporting was dangerous, to support that type of research, and then to look the other way and say nothing to see here, and to cover it up. For the last 2 years, he's been covering his tracks, but we've got him red-handed, and he won't get away. Historically, he will be remembered for one of the worst judgments in the history of modern medicine.
No, folks, he's a mass murderer that makes Joseph Mengele look like a small-time mafia hitman. But at least Rand Paul is finally saying he won't get away, although, arguably, he's gotten away with millions, lots and lots of murders, and he's going to sail off into the sunset and enjoy those millions, even if a few people might say really bad things about the most evil man on the planet. Oh yeah, Senator Paul did indicate that the Senate intends to hold hostage the military reauthorization bill until somebody at least decides we don't need to kill all of our soldiers, sailors, pilots, and Marines. Said Paul, they deserve to have their religious freedom, as well as their medical choices, and freedom to decide what goes into their body. We know this, he continued, and it's a scientific fact. The vaccine, sick, does not prevent you from getting an infection. It does not prevent you from transmitting an infection. And for young people, there isn't significant evidence to show that it reduces the severity or hospitalization, unquote. In fact, folks, there is significant evidence to say exactly the opposite. But, said the senator, the military has become so woke, and they're demanding you get a vaccine that you don't need, so something's got to change, unquote, and I wonder if they'll change it in time to prevent the United States military from being completely destroyed by the traitors that have been trying to do so for several years now. Or is it already too late? There's one more headline story that also falls into the category of we keep hearing more and more on this subject. I wonder if people ever wake up to it. It comes from Dr. Joseph Mercola's site saying an invisible prison has been built just for you. Hey, tell me something we didn't know. At least the fact that the mark of the beast is on the way has been pretty clear for a long time now. But the story at a glance summarizes what he writes this way. An international vaccine passport, digital identity, and social IST, they never spell that right, credit system, and CBDC, for Central Bank Digital Currency, form a digital control system, a nexus, that will lock down the population in perpetuity. Why, folks, you might even say, mark of the beast. Facial recognition, says the story, is an essential part of this control structure, as it's the password to your digital identity. By the end of this year, hey, we're almost there, 2022, there will be 1 billion data-collecting surveillance cameras in the world, all connected to the Internet and artificial intelligence, or AI. And not only that, there are cameras and audio recording devices in cell phones, automobiles, and smart appliances, like your toaster oven and your refrigerator, if you're not careful, that also collect and share data. And all of these will then be used to give each person, everybody at least who signs up to serve that other master, the prince of this world, your host notes, an individual score based on their behavior, expression, and interaction with the world, or at least the part that they're allowed to interact with. Ultimately, it says your social IST credit score will dictate what you can and can't do, what you can buy, and where or if you can go. And think about it. How's that for a good description of what Revelation already described 2 millennia ago? Artificial intelligence, or AI, is the absolutely crucial component to manage all this data, without which the control system and its centralized master plan can't work. The easiest way to push against this system, says Dr. Mercola, is to starve AI of data by refusing to use these evil intent technologies that collect and share not only your personal data, but literally everything, including things you didn't even know you were sharing, like elements of your voice or your walk or your facial mannerisms. Pretty much anything that might identify and track you. This, by the way, is a nice summary down in the piece. Digital identity, it says, has been described by, what else, the Evil World Economic Forum, or WEF, as a new chapter in the socialist contract, whether you thought you signed up for it or not. The problem is that the WEF's new socialist contract is one that none of us has agreed to. It's being revised by the WEF and its, public-private partners and thrust upon the rest of us without our consent. The vast majority of people, says the piece, don't even know what this new socialist contract actually entails or how it will affect their personal day-to-day lives and individual decision-making, or lack thereof, and the ability to do it, or, as it turns out, not to do it. That, for obvious reasons, has never been fully delineated, he says, because if it was understood by everyone, and all they got to do is read Revelation, virtually no one on earth would accept it. After all, few people with normal intelligence relish having their lives dictated by someone else, or I guess you could now say something else. Here's one more of those stories your host likes to refer to as what looks a heck of a lot like another beta test. Two power substations in North Carolina came under gunfire on Saturday, and tens of thousands of customers are now without power. Outages expected to last until at least Thursday, says Duke Energy. The twin attacks took place shortly after 7 p.m. Saturday in Moore County, a rural area. Yeah, we're going to do these tests out where it's not as easy to tell what's going on, about 90 miles east of Charlotte. And as temperatures were expected to dip slightly below freezing, more than 35,000 customers were still without power Sunday night. That's 56% of the county. A state of emergency has been declared. And the interesting thing is that it looks like the perps here knew exactly what they're doing, said the local sheriff, almost like it was a well-planned and executed, what did I tell you, beta test. No group, though, said the Moore County Sheriff Ronnie Fields, has yet stepped up to acknowledge that they're the ones who done it. Oh, and what do you bet they're going to try to blame right-wing extremists rather than the who knows how many foreign terrorists that have already been allowed to infiltrate and incorporate themselves in cells all across the country. But that's not the story that at least some local outlets are trying to feed the dumbed-down populace. One trans activist and writer has blamed specific organizations. This is where we're at now, said Aaron in the morning. Proud Boys, Patriot Front, and various right-wing militias are shutting down. Yeah, there was an LGBTQ drag show scheduled to happen, and it's not going to happen now. They're shutting down drag shows and cutting power to entire towns, she's... is it a she? I don't know what the right pronoun is here for this thing, folks. In order to enact anti-LGBTQ plus hate und terrorism. Now, isn't it funny? The same people that will tell you that these country bumpkins, these blithering idiots, don't know enough to find their rear end with both hands, but somehow or other they can mastermind the takedown of an entire power station just in time to prevent an LGBTQ drag show? Huh. I guess there's no accounting for, hypocrisy or... inability to connect the dots. But wait, the story says the FBI is assisting the investigation, so you can rest assured you ain't heard the last of this one, unless it turns out that it was LGBTQ terrorists that did it, in which case, it would have never happened, at least so far as the press and probably ultimately Twitter again are concerned. Let's wrap up today with a brief flashback in the Wayback Machine to just 1 month ago. Courtesy of Natural News, a renowned German economist has warned that the globalist WEF, or World Economic Forum, is now set to implement, I hope you're sitting down, a socialist credit system under the guise of a humanitarian act. Yeah, sure. This, he added, will bring forward the New World Order with the population under its full control. During an interview with the German alternative TV station Auf One, economist Ernst Wolf remarked that the WEF's motto this fall is, quote, a frontal attack on the middle class. He told the host that the global elite plans to make giant corporations and states swallow the current price increases, citizens will suffer, and of course the middle class, what's left of it, is intended to bear most of the burden, leading to, inevitably, escalation and panic, because, quote, in the end, citizens are supposed to beg for a new monetary system and a digital basic income, digital central bank money, and a social credit system, he said. They even want to sell this to us as a humanitarian act in the end. And the grand finale, or maybe the interlude on the way to the Great Reset, is expected to happen in the fall, he said. One thing is certain, the Great Reset will be handled brutally, and all people who have created or saved anything will now be in dire straits, unquote. And most of the rest of this, folks, you've not only seen coming, but if you've read the book, you know at least the parameters of how it's intended to play out. It'll involve the usual digital tracking, socialist credit systems, and universal surveillance schemes. People will probably end up being supplied with a wallet, which might have, 1,000 or 2,000, or maybe by then it'll be 100 million on a weekly basis, digitally connected to the central banksters. However, that central bank will have the power to individually adapt taxation, individual interest rates, and instant penalization charges. You could even be cut off from cash flows, especially, you can guess, politically incorrect purchases that won't be allowed. And, of course, money will have an expiration date as well. So there you go. Just 1 month back, and we can already see the progress being made as we approach year end. And may Yahuwah bless you and yours.